You're listening to Boys Don't Cry with Russell Kane, brought to you by Joe.
Hello and welcome to Boys Don't Cry. I'm Russell Kane. I created this podcast because I constantly was hearing the sentence, why don't men discuss XYZ? So this is a podcast where we discuss XYZ. Girls, be careful what you wish for, because most girls that wish for a man that talks about his feelings haven't been out with a man who talks about them all the time. And that, in my experience, is quite a short relationship. They normally run off with the strong, silent type after that. But this is a safe space where I get guys together. They don't know what they're going to talk about until they turn up about 10 minutes before I ply them with coffee and sit them down. I have two male guests today. I've got comedian Danny McLaughlin and comedian and actor Justin Morehouse. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
And I've also got the regular lady auditor today being filled by comedian and podcast host Rachel Fairburn. Hello,
hello,
Rachel.
You're right.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah, not bad.
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's nice to work with you, Russell. Because you live in the north now. I thought we'd be like better friends than we've been.
Well, I live in...
I kind of made the effort and you never reciprocated.
I live in Cheshire and it is hard to get your visa stamped to bring you in. I did try, but you were turned away quite a few times.
He lives on the Overspill estate just outside Wilmslow.
When he tried to pass Cheadle, they were like, can you just say a vowel for me? I'm sorry, you're going to have to turn back. Right, so today what we're talking about... I don't know how male this topic is, Rachel. It feels to me like the game has changed in the last 2 years. Now, I've been in a solid relationship for the last 2 years, so I've been less affected by some of the single blokes around me, but not totally unaffected. We're in a post-Weinstein world, and any men that even comment on it are mocked. And things are so complicated now. What, you don't understand what sexual assault is? Shut up. To the point where you're almost scared to have a conversation about what things mean. Well, not here. Today, we will have a conversation about it. I want to talk about flirting. I want to talk about pulling, about making the first move. Now, it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship, you still need flirting as a skill, don't you?
It's a handy skill to have.
Do you feel like things have changed, or is it just whinging right-wing men over 50 who are like, you can't even touch a tit anymore? What's the world coming? Oh, I used to be able to squeeze Donna's knocker in the break room. All of a sudden, it's rape. Grow up, Donna.
Yeah, I normally only flirt now with like older women in shops.
Really?
Try and get a bit of discount or something. Or
even that statement now would be jumped on and go, oh, so right, so somehow older women are less sexual, are they? In your eyes, desexualised. Do you see what I mean?
An apron will do that.
You just Princess Diana'd straight into a Cambodian minefield of gender and put your foot on the first... It's not just scary, it's too scary to admit it's confusing. There was a brilliant MASH report sketch, which I howled at, which sort of satirised men that are like, I'm so confused about flirting, because there are obviously a group of morons being completely inappropriate before. Can you squeeze past, darling? It's only a tight cap. There we are. You know, those men. That's always been wrong. We always knew it was wrong. I've got no time for the sentence, well, it was different back in my day. You know, when were you living in? With the fucking Vikings or something? It wasn't that long ago. It's 20 years ago.
You know when somebody drops something while you're down there?
Yeah.
I've always found that a little bit...
I've had a why you down there from men before, because men love fake gay flirting, don't they, with their friends? Yeah, I'll bum you over while you're getting the beers in, and all of that. But in my opinion, and I may be coming across a bit Green Party here, why you're down there has always been wrong. That's not changed.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's not changed with time. But there are things now... I mean, let's start with me, because I feel like we're sort of stalking around the edge of this debate, because we've got to be so careful. I'm with my wife, Lindsay, right? She was in the front row of a gig in Chester, where Danny's from. She was sat there. She was stunning. I was like, oh, God, I've got to speak to this girl again. Tour manager ran out to try and find her. Couldn't find her. Stalked her online. Found her. Went out for dinner, blah, blah, blah. If I were single now, I honestly, knowing what I know now and having rethought sexual politics over the last 2 years, think, is that an abuse of my... I'm in a powerful position, right? I'm stood on stage. I'm 10 years older than Lindsay. There's an age difference. There's a power difference. There's a context problem. Have I got her into bed under pretenses which would now be distasteful? Rachel Fairburn, help me.
I think that's quite sweet.
Really?
I think it's
what,
nice.
I'm on stage, suck my dick is sweet.
I think it's sweet. That I think it's nice. Like, yeah, you saw her, you thought, oh, she looks lovely.
But
there's a fact.
It's not like you followed her home and she didn't know.
No, but isn't there a problem? Like, a lot of people would say, and I've got sympathy with it. I've got a daughter now, so my thinking on this is going all the way.
Oh, now
into,
you've got a daughter.
No, what it is, my thinking of it now, post Weinstein, with people saying, if someone's in a position of power, you should never try and use that status to try and get a girl to fancy you more in any context.
But you don't think did you?
No.
She came to see you, she laughed. You were attracted to her. All you did was use whatever you could to see if that attraction was reciprocated. If you'd have said to her at that the night, do you fancy going out for a drink? And she just went, no, thank you. And then you'd have carried on. That's when it's wrong.
Yeah.
But all you did was use everything in your power.
Like, you would have done this if you'd just seen her in a bar and she wasn't at your show, you'd have probably done the same thing.
Is this the problem, that we're overthinking things
now? Yeah, I think that situation, you're massively overthinking it.
But you can see, I've only got to tweak the variables just a little bit, make the stage higher. Lindsay's 24 at the time. Let's make her 21. Make the stage higher, make me a bit more famous than I am. Damn you, celebrity world. The imbalance gets bigger and bigger and bigger till it's got nothing to do with who I am as a person. It's just the guy on stage. I mean, I'm being brave here, putting myself as the hypothetical example. Do you know what I'm saying, Danny?
I know what you're saying, but like Justin said, I think she was into it and not freaked out by it is the main key.
Yeah, but isn't the jumping off point, though, still an abuse of power? Like, so, for example, okay, let me give you another example. Mm-hmm. University lecturer, age 27, starts flirting with 21-year-old student. She's into it. She's not freaked out at all. Yeah, he would still be sacked because it's an abuse.
Because that's an actual law. No, that's the law, though.
Let's stay in pure morality. How is it different on a moral level?
Well, you know, that's ambiguous, isn't it?
Oh, God, I'm a sex offender.
My own example is
when I had a child after abusing her.
When I've been a comedian for about 2 years, I spoke with my then wife.
I didn't know that.
See, this is what you're getting. Secrets.
Yeah, go on.
Spoke with my wife and I got a flat. I was...
I love that. My dad always says that when he has a row with his missus. He's like, right, I'm getting a flat. That's him. Like, right, I'm getting a flat.
So, I've never linked those two things together.
So I got a flat. I would meet girls after gigs. I would meet girls through work. Is that an abuse of power? I was 32. I was meeting 32-year-olds.
And what was life?
I was going to say, how old were the girls? It depends on the girls.
Yeah, I was doing theatre and education at the time.
You let them finish their A-levels first, not an anime.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like being single, meeting women? Were you good at that? Did you enjoy it?
I think I had a sense of confidence that I'd not had before, and that was probably because of the job that I did. I'd just been in Phoenix Nights and one or two other little things that I was doing. I was on the radio and that sort of thing. So there is. Looking back on it now, I was probably using that to my advantage.
Danny, let's say you're single tomorrow. You get a flat, apparently.
Yeah.
And a girl comes to see you, and she's like, I'm just such a fan of yours. Please, I love everything you do. I followed everything. And there's that slightly dead look behind the eyes, but she's fit as fuck. She's a me. Do you go, hey, man, on a moral level, I just can't take advantage of this girl? Or is it like, do you know what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go at her like a chief at a tribal drum.
If somebody says that, that's not the same, though, is it?
But I'm
moving. There is a point. Do you know what I mean? It's a continuum.
It depends on the
person. There's an elephant in the room, isn't there? There is an elephant in the room here because there are...
When you put both your hands up, then I wonder what you were going to say. There's an elephant in the room here.
If you painted this girl to be dead behind the eyes, as you say,
well,
and she looked to Danny, I think then if you look at somebody and they approach you and they're like, oh, I think you're brilliant, and you think, there's something not right here.
Let's take this.
Think this would make me uncomfortable.
Rachel, sorry to break it to you, most men would not. That safety catch would go, I'm uncomfortable. Darwinian evolution kicking in. Discomfort removed. Travel lodge.
Rachel, okay.
All right.
You're really attracted to Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Yeah. We all know he has got, you know, learning difficulties.
He's not.
There's an element of dead behind the eyes with him.
I didn't say that, Liam.
Yeah. If he came to you and went, all right, how about it?
Oh, I'd be straight on. Think about it.
Not under.
Straight on.
You can take these things to its nth degree. The elephant
you could grab onto his like tiny sideburns while you're riding your
work. It's making me all warm. I'm a bit red.
There are people, aren't they, in show business that have done this? That have...
Comedians.
You know, yeah.
I was quite tame, but the problem with me... I'd never been single in my life. I went from the age of 16 and I just always fell in love. I'd be single for about a week. Go, yeah, next weekend, man, I'm going to shag everything that moves. First girl I slept with, I love you. I did that about 5 times. So before I knew it, before I met Lindsay, I still had never had a proper one-night stand. Never. I'd done like, hey, I'm only going to shag you about 20 times. Maybe we could go out for 6 months, see how you like that.
You never had a one-night stand?
On a lad's holiday, I'd never kissed a girl on a lad's holiday. Never, ever achieved it. Awful at pulling.
Had you tried?
I went the whole week and I took this. I'm not making this up for Comic Affair. I took a Henry James novel on our 18 to 30s holiday. And I just wanted to have conversations with these girls.
Do you think it was an 1830s holiday?
Almost. There's a Henry James fans going, you're out by about 60 years, but good try. I like conversation. It freaks out a certain type of girl who's like, I just want straightness in my hair.
Yeah, but this isn't about the Weinstein problem. This is the dichotomy at the heart of Russell Cage.
No, but after
this
that...
Is, so this, what, yeah, but that sort of thing, that's you. You're a particular, peculiar kind of person.
I was. And then I split up with another girl who my mum had fallen in love, because my mum always goes, this is the one, Russ. There's going to be grandchildren. So the photo on my mum's side is about that fat, about a foot thick, with the ones who were the one with me, with just my hair just changing. My mum was once said to me, you have a year of being single. If there was an emotional condom, that's what I wore. And I'm like, that's it. I'm in a lucky position where, even though I might not be blessed by nature, I can pull easily because of what we do. That thought occurred to me. And I did. It was ridiculous. And I wasn't sat there, Rachel, going, you know, is it for the right reasons?
But you planned that.
I consciously put the emotional condom on. And even when, obviously, because I'm obviously got issues and fall in love too easily, even when I had feelings, I would purposely not see that girl again. I forced myself to be single for other reasons.
You use those girls then?
Or did they use me?
Yeah, but I was going to say, the girls...
Well, no, it was fucking
good
fun.
Women are very attracted to a certain...
You can say Russell.
People find you very attractive.
But what is it? What's going on when I'm... Am I taking advantage? There'll be men listening to this. I'm taking the bullet here for the example. Is a man taking advantage of a girl on some level in those circumstances? Or does everyone just need to man up and stop being so snowflake about the whole thing? That's what I'm trying to get to.
When I first met my current partner, I was umming and ahhing about certain sorts of things. And she said to me...
I ain't doing that.
She said to me, things you got to remember is that women like sex too.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to remember about this. Women like sex too, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that these days, women do have the same morality code about sexual politics.
Which was my thinking at the time. But what's happened in the last year, it's only natural you think about your past conduct. Do you feel uncomfortable, Rachel, when men come onto you in that context, like in a professional context? Are men too threatened by a female comedian?
Only once I've been chatted up by an audience member after a gig. I was that impressed. I went on a date with him.
Really?
Yeah. I was like,
have you ever chatted? Yeah.
Have you ever gone harvesting the D after a gig?
No.
Like that. This is you at the D harvest.
No. Absolutely not. I would not ever want to.
What's a combined D harvest?
I don't think I'd ever want to get off with an audience member. I don't know why.
Why? They're people too.
Danny, no, would you get off with an audience member if
not
you were single?
In that night.
Show manager.
Are you lying because we're on a podcast?
No. I get a bit freaked out when people come up to me. Like, I'd prefer it if they, like add me.
Run away. That's much darker.
No, but I prefer it if I get, like, a tweet or something, or, like, yeah. Oh, I really enjoyed what you did,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that's what happened with
Instead of just turning up, because then you know, especially if it's in the day, you know they're not drunk or fucking beaked up or whatever. Well. Then it's easier for you to go, like,
also because
block or whatever.
Straight after the gig, you're in a really funny place, aren't you?
Yeah, and you...
Because you're not that... Because none of us are that person that we are on stage.
It's not a real representation.
No.
So
is that where I've been going wrong? I should have held something back.
This is probably going to sound really bad. I also... Right, so...
Go on,
right.
This is the podcast to do it.
It's going to sound really arrogant.
No, go on. Are you the D Master General?
Right. Right, so if I'm doing a gig and I've had a great gig and, say, a man came to talk to me... I'll be honest with you, not that I'm better than you, not that I'm trying to say that. I don't find it attractive because I feel the more powerful one in that situation.
Higher status?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's
so you wouldn't be, or you would be attracted to?
I wouldn't.
Because that's so old school. And there's no shame in admitting it. Yeah. There are many girls now and women that feels embarrassed to admit they feel that way. They feel like they're no longer allowed to have those feelings, like being turned on by authority and turned off by a lower status man. It's like, we certainly wouldn't have lost the right to say it. Isn't it nice to be the fucking dominant man, the bigger earner or something? Like, it's a horrific Neanderthal thing.
I've got girl mates that are like, oh, can we come and watch a gig in case there's any fit comedians on and we can try and fuck up?
And you're like, hello, I'm here.
that's what it's like. It's almost like a go and wait round the stage door for the band sort of thing.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I think women want to do that. I think that's amazing. But if you were going to try
There's a grey area there of, like, women who say they like a man to be dominant in that kind of scenario.
I mean, this is...
That must be a hard work for people who are trying to put that jigsaw of a relationship together. I want you to be this. I want you to be that. I mean, everyone's very different. I mean, I'm really glad that I am as long in the tooth as I am now.
I'm just glad I'm as married as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I sound like a right old fart, but yeah. We've spoken about this before, but there is definitely a confusion that goes across the men I've had on this panel. I mean, we did one about body hair. So men literally don't even know if we're supposed to be hairy anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't know how tall we're supposed to be, how masculine we're supposed to be. Ironically, masculine in a sort of role-playing way as a turn-on, but not really aggressive because that would be scary. So you get to the point where we're too scared to say anything. Rachel, can you give us any guidance across a survey of your female friends and you?
Well, speaking for myself and a lot of my female friends, I like a blokey bloke. Manly, I like hairy men.
Not hot that- belly.
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, I like quite chubby Ventolin. Guys, and I just don't.
Cortina, you're trying to go for my dad in the '70s.
I think, but also,
do you feel embarrassed admitting that a little bit? Not you, because you're a confident, outspoken female. But can you see how many some girls would feel like, oh my god, is there something wrong with me? Why don't I want my man waxed, low earning, and being effeminate in the corner? Because that's what I should want as a woman on some level. I'm obviously making a joke here, guys. Before you start hitting Twitter,
like a lot of my friends laugh at me because of the type of man that I like. But I do like a traditionally stereotypical blokey bloke.
It's the same with men, though. If you try and like someone that isn't like what you'd call Instagram fit, or like, you have to add a caveat that there's something about
terrible, isn't it?
That's what you have to say. If you like,
yeah, but what's she look like? She's a lovely, she's a really kind girl. Oh, mate.
Yeah,
it's always like, still exists that culture.
Don't judge me yet, because there's something about her. Yeah.
So that's moving on to like flirting and stuff. I know, Rachel, are you single or in a relationship?
Yes.
You are single.
Yes.
If we were transported to a bar now, let's imagine, gentlemen, we are single as well. What techniques and words would you use? How have you forgotten how to pull normally? I never had it, so I can't forget why I never had. We know I read Henry James Nolly, I was useless.
Do you want to know mine?
Go on.
Mine was shameful. I was always a podgy kid. I was never a good-looking guy. I was never the cool guy. I was always the funny guy.
Yeah.
This would often occur when we would go to see mates who'd gone to university, because not all of us went to university. My technique would be, you'd never be interested in a guy like me, would you?
Playing on their class guilt.
Yeah, kind of like...
You're saying you'd never go out with Lady Chatterley's lover sort of thing in the potting shed.
My references would be slightly more like Pretty in Pink.
So you put yourself down. Like, yeah. Oh, you want me, you're not looking at me.
I'd negger myself to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they go, no, of course. I'm, yeah.
Prove it then. just touch the end of it.
It's what? Almost like you were in the room.
What about you, Danny?
I was terrible. I was like, I always used to try and play on the fact that I wasn't like the other lads. Like,
would that still be your technique now? 2018.
So I'd be like, they'd be like, oh, where'd you go on a date with that guy? Oh, that's shit, the pub. Let's go on the swings and eat chicken nuggets. You know, like try and offer an alternative service.
Amazing. And how many wanks did you have during that? And what about you, Rachel? What would you do? Single, you're in a bar, you're like, enough is enough. I don't care. Tonight I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be one leading the flirting.
Okay, well, hello.
That's... Classic. See, if you're I did right? that, Justin would have mocked me.
Can gone, you see that, though? Can you? I mean, kind of boy I was the shoulder to cry on guy. This shoulder's warped from it. Genuinely. And I was at, you know, the girl would be going, he's a bastard. And I'd be like, come, you know.
Yeah.
And it never, because girls see that, don't they? They know who the alpha male is and who's pretending to be the beta male.
Yeah.
I've always been quite good at being direct. Like, I went to the Leeds Festival when I was 17 and I spotted this chap that I really fancied, very Liam Gallagher. And he had aviator sunglasses on. I was like, oh, he's nice. And
it's Noel Gallagher.
I went up to him and I went, oh, hello, I'm Rachel. And he went, how old are you? And I went 17. He went, have you got any ID? And I showed him a provisional driving licence. And I had a snog with him. And then he took his sunglasses off and he was absolutely repulsive without his sunglasses.
Oh.
So I went, ooh, no, and just walked off.
You should have checked his ID.
Yeah. So now that's what you do. Can you take your sunglasses off?
He has to see your driver's license.
He wasn't sure of all
Can
was.
I see your ID? Can I see your eyes?
I should have asked. But I've never had a problem with, if I've found someone attractive, being direct. Like, I'm not scared of asking somebody out.
When was the last time you asked somebody out?
About 3 weeks ago.
And did they say yes or no?
Wait a minute. Was this like a formal, like, walk across the bar, or was it like a texted thing?
It was somebody I knew, and I had a drink with him, and then... stop looking at me. And then...
So how did you ask them out? Did you say, do you want to go out with me?
I just went...
Do you want to be my boyfriend?
I said, oh, have you got a girlfriend? And he went, oh, yeah, I have. And I went, oh, that's a shame.
So it wasn't a no. You know when guys say, yeah, I have. It's like, just say, men should just say, yes, I've got a girlfriend, shouldn't they not? Well, yeah, you know, I have. In theory.
Yeah, I have.
Girlfriend,
but, yeah.
Smell friend. Please, wank me off.
Like, I don't, and also, I don't mind if blokes ask if you... I'd rather, this is what I want to move on to now, because
what you've just said there, it seems simple. Mm-hmm. That a guy can just go over to a girl and ask her out in a bar. I think I've done it about twice in my entire life. It was horrific when I was at school. It's worse now. Let's just start with flirting.
Are you a good flirt? No. Absolutely not. Not since the old trip you up in the science corridor, sort of like, right, what do you mean? Fit on a pencil case. You know, like the school thing where you just...
Kick someone
enough, they might go out of you.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, I know,
that
exactly.
That must be really northern, that one. I've not heard of that one. You just get her into submission.
Yeah, when she taps out.
I did the My Mate Fancies You technique where you would dispatch the nerdy one from class, go, My Mate Fancies You, and then run off and you'd just be like voguing over the other side of the playground.
And you weren't the nerdy one.
Well, I very often was, but I asked a girl out in a corridor at school and she said no in front of everyone. I think it really like changed.
I sent my mate to ask somebody out for me once and they've just celebrated 30 years of marriage.
Oh.
Yeah. Right, so that's good then, isn't it? Well, he's asking her out for you. And
yeah.
And he ended up going out with her.
Yeah, they've been married for 30 years.
Oh, steam date. Wingman. Wingman took his badges.
Still waiting.
I'm glad, actually. I'm glad. But what? I'm over it now.
Do you think flirting has changed in the last couple of years? Or is this just men panicking about nothing? Do you think twice now, a little bit, about your... Maybe it's the best freaking thing that ever happened in our society. Or maybe the pendulum swung so far that way, which it needs to have, and it will settle in a more sensible
place. I'm certainly more careful about how I speak to women than I have been before. But I don't think I was ever a problem.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think the problem is that the men who... aren't assholes who are intelligent and, you know, respectful. I think they're the people that have been slightly more aware of everything that's going on and are more likely not to engage with somebody. Whereas idiots are always idiots, and that those people.
So everyone's
haven't.
More paranoid, and you've gained nothing.
Yeah, I just think like actually some men I think have actually got worse, particularly online.
You're seeing a reaction, aren't you? We're seeing.
Yeah, I think a lot of men have become massively oversensitive and very quick to pick you up on little things that you might write on Twitter or something. Yep. And it's like trying to assert some sort of like authority.
Something's threatened, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a definite thing. Some men are sort of aggressive about things and a bit more like, oh, what's your problem? That kind of thing. But
I did a white collar boxing event. I hosted it. I was alarmed to see the girl with the card walk around the ring. This was at work type thing, because this was a white collar thing. So everyone who was there with their business or their work. So you're at work and essentially just leering at a girl telling you what round it was.
Leering is quite a provocative word. Mm. What does that mean to you, Rachel? Leering. Ugh. Men love a leer, don't they?
Yeah, it's when...
Not King Lear.
It's when...
Lear jet.
Yeah, I love a Lear jet.
Beeping car horn. Beeping the horn at you.
That's not a leer, though.
I find that leering.
What's the definition of leering? Is it like a lingering...
Like it's like eyes open, tongue out would be the comedy leer.
I see men doing this all the time. Do you know what? I genuinely know that I never have done this. So when I see a woman walk down the street, if it's summer, yeah, and she's wearing a miniskirt and she's wearing a boob tube, is that the right word? It's 1978, okay?
She's just parked her Mini Cooper.
She's just come out of the factory and George Best is taking her for a
trip. Do you want to do the twist?
Yeah. I genuinely do this. Outside the comedy store, Deansgate Locks, and see young girls dressed how they want, walking down the road, and I watch men as they walk past. I enjoy watching the men look at the girls and just think it's just icky. Just that kind of, you can see what goes through their minds.
Yeah, they're it's like undressing.
Like they're shopping them. There's a bloke who used to live near us that used to stare at women all the time. My mum called him Gravy Eyes.
Gravy Eyes?
Yeah.
Why?
Because his eyes were like gravy on a plate all over the place. Like swirling around like gravy on a plate.
Is it wrong though? Is it wrong, Dan? I'm being provocative here, by the way. If a girl has made the effort and she's with a group, and there's a group of them, there's a group of five girls, stunning looking, they've all made the effort. Are we supposed to do a David Blunkett, look at the floor? Are we supposed to do a polite look away? What's wrong with the old wolf tongue?
I don't know. Probably about 4 seconds is the.
You're allowed to 4 seconds, right? No, I'm going to stare at Rachel for 4 seconds.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like that's that was uncomfortable. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
For,
weird.
Like, if it's that long, then it's there needs to be a shot clock almost in basketball, where you're or like in football where the keeper's allowed to hold it for 6 seconds and then it's a foul. Yeah. So like you're allowed a look. I don't know. Are you allowed a look?
I think there's a big difference
between the look and the Leah.
We need to go to the lady auditor here, Rachel. You've made the effort. We're out with four of your mates, you all look banging. You know how good you look. You look in the mirror, bang, your Instagram's popping. Are you seriously telling me that is for me and for my girls, and if a man looks at me, it's offensive? Is that what you're saying?
Of course, when you're all dressed up, you want to be looked at. You want people to go, you look great. Men and women to look at you, think you look great. If I see a lot of girls out for a night out and they look amazing, I'll have a look and I'll be like, they look great.
It's very hot in here.
I'll be like, they look great.
There's so much I can take.
But I think the problem is, it's how somebody looks.
It's like when you see a tramp looking in a Ferrari garage. That's the thing. That's what gets me when they go, fuck you.
Yeah, that kind of.
You've got no
chance. If you make noises.
Yeah. You're sat on the bench with your mates smoking a roll up.
If it's audible.
Is that who you are in the example, Justin? The tramp looking at the.
No, I'm not. I'm the smartly dressed businessman observing the tramp.
Through his paper. Through two eye holes cutting it.
No, I just think it is an example of the problem that is still in male society. That essentially, for all the hashtag Me Too conversation, for all the well-meaning podcasts that go on about how men are more sensitive than they've been before.
Hello.
For all that, there is still a problem where men define women by their looks and by how they're dressed and walking down the road. And that leads on to, if you don't want to get raped, you shouldn't be dressing like that.
Mm-hmm.
That leads on to, of course, she's putting it out there. That leads to all those things.
But isn't part of the problem is we don't speak to lads about this enough? You've got
of course.
How old's your boy now?
My son is 21, right. and his stepmother, my partner, has impassioned upon him a drawing back of the misogyny that was becoming apparent in his teenage years, born from laddie culture, from his mates.
So what's happening now more, teenage girls are being sat down, really coached about consent, and you'll understand, blah, 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 and boys are not... Mm-hmm. being sat down, in my opinion,
in enough numbers,
and coached properly.
But that's men's problem. That is a male problem. That's the male gaze, isn't it? My mate's his dad was a really cool guy in the 80s. He was a feminist in the 80s. I think they went to a boys' school or something. They were going to a girls' school party. The dad sat in the car and he said to these two boys, and it stuck with them forever. He just went, "When you go to this party, lads, remember, girls are not female boys. Treat them better. Treat them with acknowledgement that they are women."
Oh, I totally agree with what you're saying, Justin, but you could see how some girls would take what has been said there and completely flip that.
Explain to me how they'd flip that, because I don't see that.
In there is a kind of a feminine vulnerability and a lesser sexuality. They're not as sexual as us. They're more vulnerable.
These are 14-year-old boys who are going to their first party,
I agree,
drinking beer first, and being warned not to behave wrongly.
But there is a strain in feminism, which would, not me, would try and flip what you're saying and would try and say that men and women are equal on all levels.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, you're tying me in knots. I'm not. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's not what he was saying.
Of course, I understand that. But
he was saying, don't be too mannish about this. Don't be too blokish about this. What should that dad have done in that situation? Thrown them boys into the pit with those young people and let them behave how they want, and women should have their right to fight equally and get away from that? Or should he prepare the people in his care to treat other human beings with a level of self-respect and decency which should be afforded? And when you're a 14-year-old boy, you don't know that. You know, you've just got your first hairy bollocks. You're ravaged by testosterone. The only sexual kind of experience you've got is by reading nuddy books and what your mates have told you and you know, that kind of... I remember that line in the in-betweeners thing where he was talking about... He was trying to say he'd had sex, full sex, balding and everything. That kind of, do you know what I mean? I remember those things that I used to think were real about sex that you didn't know when you were 40 until you were 25.
This comes back to what I think is the solution, is the sex education in the country is screwed, pardon the pun. We are. I've just been in Copenhagen at the weekend gigging. You just can't believe how different those countries' attitudes are to talking to boys, not 14, 7, 8, 9-year-old children about sex. So by the time they get to 14, the counselling you would give would be redundant because it's not a special secret knowledge that's never been discussed and shut away with the nudie books in the bedroom. It's as out there as this is why the sky is blue, this is why we have a moon, this is how evolution works, this is how sex works. Let's bring in the lady auditor here. We have a 14-year-old boy. I'm about to send him out. Is the correct thing to do to remind him that women are different to us?
Well, he should have those sensibilities within him already. He should actually yes. know, and he should have respect for people anyway, for the same sex and the opposite sex. Well, I think maybe what we need to teach, not all young men, some young men, is that a woman is not something that they have a right to. It's not something that they're entitled to. It's another person, another human being. It's not something that you can just have.
Are we telling women that as well, that they can't have young men?
Let's not tell them that. Come on, man, it's hard enough as it is, Justin.
I think I do think it's a two-way thing, though, because, like, when we had jokes now, like, if... So, for example, if a comedian who happens to be a woman goes on stage and she makes a joke about, oh, I'm a cougar, oh, is there any young men in? Oh, how old are you? Oh, that kind of thing. That is accepted, but if a guy went on and went, oh, how old are you? Oh, you're 18. Four. I'm 50. I'm, you know.
Yeah, a male cougar is a sex pest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's something that...
Yeah, we need the term for a male cougar, don't we?
It's cougar bait.
It's the classic teacher at school,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
If a male teacher sleeps with a sixth former, he's like, he's a dirty bastard.
Yeah.
But everyone's high-fiving the lad if it's the woman.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll just hold it out. I have to take a break. Right, we're very lucky to have a sponsor for this podcast. And
Greg's.
I don't know if it'll be... No, it's going to be less interesting than Greg's to you because it's Harry's Razors. It's not for the hairy amongst
us. I'm a customer.
Of Harry's Razors?
Yeah, the blue bottles. I get an orange handle.
So what are you shaving with? Because I'm not
got a beard
disrespect.
Me,
you look pretty hairy. Oh, yeah. Your shaft must be absolutely like porcelain.
Do you know why? If anybody wants to try Harry's, they can subscribe to my stock. I've got loads of it.
I mean, that's how good Harry's is. Even Justin Morehouse with his beard. Well, they've got a bit of German engineering, so it's not all positive. They've got a weighted ergonomic handle. Lubricated strips, which feels wrong after everything we've been talking about, a trimmer blade, lathering shave gel, and look great when stolen by your girlfriend and you can have an argument afterwards.
If you want me to do the advert for you, right, because I am bearded at the minute, but for about 6 months I was using it every single day. I had no irritations. The blade feels great in my hand. It's just weighted perfectly.
I mean,
and, you know, and it's a treat when it arrives on a monthly basis. You don't even see it. It's just a few pence a day for a great shave.
So get started with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for $3.95. Support our podcast and get your trial set delivered to you. Raise a handle. I mean, get a handle with it. What more do you want?
They come in a little box as well.
You get that?
The blades come in a little box.
The blades.
And they're just nice and neat.
Foaming gel?
Foaming gel, yeah. And especially if you've got sensitive skin like I have, if you go from shaving to not shaving, absolutely perfect. I've tried many other brands, but Harry's.
Thank you, Justin Wise. So go to harrys.com/Russell Kane. That's harrys.com/Russell Kane. Now, here's something else from Joe.
Hello and welcome to Unfiltered.
Hello and welcome to Unfiltered.
Hello and welcome to Unfiltered. It's a long-form interview series where we get inside the minds of some of the most interesting people from the worlds of entertainment, sport, politics and the media. Each week we spend an hour finding out what makes them tick, why they do what they do, and maybe even have a bit of a laugh along the way. Unfiltered is available everywhere you get podcasts, so subscribe now and get yourself at the front of the queue for each and every new episode.
Thank you very much, James O'Brien. This is Boys Don't Cry. It's getting heated in here, not just because we don't have aircon. We've gone right to the core of flirting, boys and girls, dating when you're a teenager. And it was even more complicated than we first feared. I cut Danny McLaughlin off in full flow. Danny, where were you?
I was just talking about how the teacher's thing, when a male teacher sleeps with, it might be a sixth form girl,
yep.
Then he's seen as a sex pest, really, a nonce figure. But when it's the other way around, it's literally the guys getting high fives when it's a boy.
And did it happen at your school, anything like that?
It did not.
I had a female teacher sleep with a 16-year-old boy at my school.
Also, you always find when it is reported that, like, an older woman has had sex with a young underage boy, most of the comments or most of the things underneath the article will be about how that woman looks. It'll be, oh, she's a dog. Oh, she's so ugly. Blah, 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 blah. And it not even addressing the issue of what she's done.
Or it'd be bloke going, straight, where's the victim?
Yeah, and it's blokes going, oh, I wish that had happened to me.
Yeah.
You can't think of anything worse than that, your first... I reckon it must be horrific for those boys. Genuinely, there's a podcast that I don't know if you've heard it called, Teacher's Pet. And it's about, an unresolved... It's Australian, it's massive. It's about an unresolved murder case where a teacher's wife went missing. And the day after, he moved his 16-year-old student into his house as a de facto wife and all that sort of stuff. And there was a culture of it in Australia in the early 80s. And it's an incredible thing that people will just overlook this. Nowadays, thankfully, we're aware of it, aren't we?
Okay, so I think teachers banging students, there's no ambiguity around the table. So from my point of view, time to move on. There's one thing I would like to talk about.
Have you seen Mamma Mia 2, by the way?
I cried at the end.
Have you seen that song in it? I Kissed the Teacher.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be in the film.
No.
It's incredible. It shouldn't be in the film. I feel quite strongly about this. I watched it with my 13-year-old daughter, and they're doing a song saying, I Kissed the Teacher. And, well, I mean, I know this is a harmless Mamma Mia 2, doesn't really matter film, but it's an odd thing, isn't it?
I mean, if you watched Sound of Music recently, I watched it with my 2-year-old daughter, and one of the songs is about how you're 16 and ready to see the world, and the age just gets slightly younger throughout the song. I'm like, let's just fast forward. Okay, so I think that feels a less ambiguous area. Let's try and stay on topic here. It's all about flirting and the awkwardness of getting into relationships. We've done the tricky teenage bit. So the situation recently...
We're talking about flirting.
Yeah, well, there's a situation recently which really showed to me how ignorant men and boys are. And maybe you can help us on this one, Rachel. I don't know if you've ever experienced something like this. You're like, is this girl flirting with me or not? It's particularly bad if you're in a relationship and you're totally not interested and the woman or girl is in a position of power or in your social circle where it's quite embarrassing. You're not encouraging and the girl keeps going and going. But what I've noticed is it's still in a place where if you went, excuse me, I just got to point out I'm married, the female response is often, oh my God, are you actually insinuating that's what was on my mind? I was just being friendly. What a typical man. Has anyone experienced something like this? And also, what the hell are you supposed to do in that situation?
There's not a lot you can do, is there, really? You've just got to... Because you look weird if someone comes up to you straight away, a girl, and you go, whoa.
I know.
Got a girlfriend. Back off. Yeah. And she's like... I just like you.
Panani shield erected.
Like, you stay away right now. Don't you dare come over here whispering things in my... You look like a weirdo.
It looks like you reckon yourself, doesn't it? It looks like you think you're so irresistible to women, this girl fancies you. Is it just another case, Justin, where we've not taught... Our boys are not given the language of how to handle that situation. They're given the opposite language.
Just get whatever you can, mate. Fucking bang yourself. Don't get married when you're 15. Even that's too young.
That's what I got from my dad. Promise me you won't get married before you're 40. Promise me, boy. I got all of that.
It doesn't really matter, does it? Why does it matter? Sometimes...
Not flirting.
People like to flirt with people for their own self-esteem.
But what if flirting moves on to where you're like, oh, Christ, you know, that's...
How far have we moved on? Hands down the pants.
Yeah. No, but say... I don't want to name someone. Is it someone in the business...
God. We're all guessing now.
No, but what was happening was it was a constant. Oh, you're going to be there. Well, I'm going to be there at the same time. We can have a drink. I'll have a drink when we're there. It's different because I know you now, Rachel. But if I'd never really met you and I was DMing you, going, are you going to be there? Why don't you stay after? We can have a drink together. Oh my God! And starting sending you quite a lot of messages. That would send a red light to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If I didn't know you, I'd think, oh, this is a bit weird.
Well, it means only one thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's face it.
And then you would probably, Rachel, say to one of your female friends, such and such is doing these DMs, and they would invariably, because we've talked about this before, invariably would go, yeah, he sends me those messages as well, and then a spider's web would erupt.
Yeah.
And there are a small number of perps.
But I find, and again, tell me to shut up, Rachel, I find that you have got all the language, and I hope my daughter will, in her tank, go, excuse me, sorry, I'm in a relationship, I'm not interested, you don't feel weird about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you do get men going, oh, chill out, love, I didn't fancy you. But you feel like empowered to say that, whereas I was not raised, and I'm not seeing many teenage boys raised, to be able to go, excuse me, I just don't... You feel silly, like you don't have a right to say it. And I think that's part of the problem, is it not? We don't know how to refuse sexual interest. What do you think?
I can only speak for myself. I find it very easy to go, oh, sorry, I'm not interested. I don't mind upsetting somebody. And I don't mind if a bloke, for his own sort of, I don't know, to save face, goes, oh, I wasn't even asking you like that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't mind. That's fine. But I think there's another thing as well where I, twice now, have ended up having a drink with a chap and I've been on an accidental date because they haven't clearly set out the thing that they have asked me. Like, oh, do you want to just, what are you doing on Tuesday? Do you want to come for a drink? Yeah, all right, I'm free, I'll meet you at 7. And then I get there and there's this poor lad's like shaking with a pint going,
flower in his
like, mirror. Yeah, and I'm going, oh, here we go, not again, I've got to get out of this one now.
But if somebody said to you, do you want to go for a drink? Could you not say to them, not saying, this is your responsibility, but do you feel comfortable going, is this a date or just a drink?
Well, the twice that it's happened to me, I've just assumed it's a drink. And then I've
because
got
you're not interested in them.
They've not clearly stated what the definition of the...
So wait, hang on a second, because I always struggle to believe that when two of you have gone out for a drink together, single,
it comes naturally.
Everyone knows what the context of that meeting in a bar is, surely. What do you think you
mean?
No, if I've asked a girl out for a drink, I'm like, why don't we go out for a drink? She's like, maybe he just wants to hang out socially. Do you not think...
I can say
to Lindsay
it's
tonight.
Harry met Sally, isn't it?
I say to Lindsay tonight, do you know what? There's this really great female I'm working with at the moment, so I'm just going to take her out for a drink. Do you know what Lindsay's first question would be? How old is she? Is she single? What does she look like?
Of course, yeah.
First question.
Well, two single people can go out for a drink and it not be anything.
Yeah.
Well, it can not turn into anything. Well,
I don't know. I think it's fine because otherwise, you'd have no single friends that aren't the same sex as you.
You've got loads of friends that you go for a drink with, haven't you, Rachel?
Yeah,
so he's saying that they're all trying to bang you.
Well,
no, but what I mean is
that's what you're saying.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, but also I just think
they're you saying that.
I know.
I'm
getting bullied here, but there are many people that are going, "Go on, Russ, stand up for us." We all think you're the same.
Do you not think that? We all think that.
I don't think that.
Name your friends and I'll tell them.
I'm not naming any. I suppose it's different. So if you go for a drink with a comedian who's a bloke.
It's a colleague thing. You're in the same business now. That's totally different.
You're friends and you know each other.
It is.
If you both worked at QuickFit and you went out after the office and you were both, I don't think anyone would think twice about it.
Yeah. Well, we went to Wagamama yesterday.
QuickFit.
That wasn't. We were just having some.
You know what I mean?
No. Rachel and I have worked together. So if I said to Rachel tomorrow, let's go out for a drink. If I wasn't like, oh, I really love.
She'd end up in a suit.
If I was like, I think you're amazing. Let's do. I've got this idea. It's a relationship based podcast where we try and solve relationship problems. Do you want to go and talk about it? It wouldn't feel weird at all. We'd both be in the bar. We'd have our pads out. But if I just messaged you, was like, I really enjoyed you, Steve. Should we go out for dinner? You wouldn't go. Well, maybe we just did have chemistry. Come on.
But if you were
most men would think it's a date. Most women would think it was a date.
I don't know. For example, when I get asked to go for a drink, this is somebody that I know who said to me, what are you doing Tuesday? Do you want to go for a drink? And I was like, yeah, I'm free. I'll see you there. And then I turn up and I'm like, hang on a minute. This is a date. This is weird. This is not
what
what
did you do about that in the moment?
I...
lashed him off.
I didn't go further than a blow-in.
He made the effort. It was a Tuesday. I wasn't busy.
I spoke to him. I would usually speak to him. Watched him be very nervous for a bit and then make it clear just through various things that I spoke about and how I was that this was not going to be a date and we were just having a drink.
I've been in the scenario a number of times and 9 times out of 10 I'm the one thinking it was a date and it wasn't. But the one time I went for a drink with somebody and they thought it was a date was the most awkward evening of my life.
Oh, they thought it was a date?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was the most awkward evening of my life.
See, this is what
happened?
I knocked her off.
Most men think rejection is a rabbit hole worth jumping down for the chance of...
Numbers game, mate, isn't it? Someone new. Numbers game.
This is the difference. So in Justin's example there, the reason his heart was sinking arguably more than a girl's would is... I need to be careful what I'm saying here. Your lady auditor has to answer. Are girls worse at taking rejection in that circumstance? Because it's not very often a girl would go up to a guy and go, I like you, and the guy would like, excuse me, you're just not my type. I mean, I'm trying to think of one occasion when I've said that when I was single. I don't think it happened once.
I don't know. Maybe it's that just cultural thing where women, where it's still the case of you expect the man to ask the woman out. I don't know.
But what happened in that? Finish the story off, Justin. What did you just sit there for an hour? Did you go do a full dinner? Did you not?
I can go into as much detail as brevity will allow me to.
Brief but explicit.
Yeah. So it was a Sunday night.
That's too much detail. If it was a Wednesday, no one gives a shit.
I arrived. She had clearly made more of an effort getting ready for a Sunday night down the pub than I had. And she said, I've taken the liberty of making reservations at a restaurant.
Where's she from, 1830?
Exactly, yes. Carrying a Henry James number. You'd have loved her. And so we went for this very awkward dinner.
Oh, my God.
This very awkward dinner. And I'd already had my tea as well. So I was, like, so I was quite uncomfortable as well. And I'd literally finished my last potato or something, put my knife and fork down and went, could we have the bill, please? And she said, and she was halfway through a masaka, are we not having dessert then? And I went, you can if you want. And it was really awkward. Oh, it was really awkward.
But did you feel like you were doing something wrong rather than just doing doing the right thing and just letting her know you weren't interested? Because I often have that sensation as a man.
Do you know what I genuinely felt? I felt like I'd been a bit bamboozled by it. She'd asked me if I wanted to go for a drink on a Sunday and she'd said that there was a quiz on. Do you want to come to a quiz?
The quiz was, do you love me or not?
Yeah. Where'd you see yourself in 10 years' time?
And you were gutted because you've been revising all week. Yeah.
So then, and then at the end of the evening...
You were like, I know my capitals, so please just fuck me, Justin Sharp. Just ask me some questions. Lagos! No, it's not that everyone thinks it's Lagos, but it's not. It's just a big city in Nigeria.
Yes, so at the end of the night, she said, it was like a proper, like, 1980s date. I remember I was putting a coat on for her from behind. You know, it was really kind of awkward.
That's really sad.
And she had like, she'd really dressed up. And I walked her to a cab and everything. And she said, she went, we must do this again. And inside I was going, it's the fucking last thing we're going to do. So I'll never do this again. Probably never with anybody else.
I think
you sound like the problem, to be honest.
I need to finish the story.
Uh-oh.
So I said, of course, yes.
Oh, right.
Let's do it again. She goes, tomorrow. And I went, oh, I'm busy. She went, Tuesday.
It's curry
night. Working. Wednesday. We got to where I couldn't say no anymore. She went, this time next week? I went, yeah, I'll call you. At 23:59 on that Sunday night, she sent me a one-line text that said, you're not very good at this, are you?
Oh, no. This is brilliant and very funny example of exactly what we're talking about, which men are not taught how to handle that situation. It probably is the mirror reflection of what's going wrong on the other side of the line when men are too keen. We don't have the language. The program has not been uploaded. Danny, has anything like that happened to you?
No, but I would have sat through it as well because I think it's always easier.
How far would you have gone?
I'd have had dessert.
Just function pumping with a sad clown face.
I would never have kissed her or anything. I would never.
No. I think it's easier to sit through it than to be the guy. I think what's worse
is if
you'd have gone, oh, I'm not interested, and she'd have gone, neither am I, you weirdo. I just wanted to dress up. I've got a new dress, and I just wanted to put it on. I think it's easier just to grin and bear it than to make that leap when it's not the case.
Or is this not a really nice example of this is, we deserve this as men every now and then to make us realise how women feel?
I don't want to sound like Stat Record, but I do think that could be done through words and education. Not with giggling 14-year-olds, but at primary school.
I think it needs to be, there needs to be less sex education and it needs to be more like relationship education.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah, of course. It's not about...
There's no sex education.
Well, you know...
13's the average. You know, but what I mean is a lot of 12-year-olds still don't know how their own freaking bodies work, let alone about consent and stuff like that. We are so behind the times with this stuff in this country.
I think schools are... I think we need to take responsibility in the family for this sort of thing. I think my children are more aware of sexuality and their sexual politics and everything else than I am now, genuinely. And we have to have honest conversations with children. We were taught about sex, my generation, in a Victorian style. My teachers who were teaching me about sexual relationships and politics and that sort of thing, some of them had fought in the Second World War.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is. And their parents, they've been taught that by their parents who were perhaps from the First World War, who were genuine Victorians.
Annoyingly, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining me, Danny McLaughlin, Rachel Fairburn and Justin Morehouse. That's it from Boys Don't Cry for this week and the series. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for subscribing, tweeting, talking. Tell people about it. Leave a review if you've liked it. We'll be back with season 2 sometime in November.
Goodbye.